Second Chronicle chapter number 20, and what I'm going to do with this, I'm going to go down through verse number 30, and I'm not going to read the entire text at all. I'm going to start, and I'm going to start preaching on a topic that we find the thought in verse 25. We will read that verse. I want you to look at it with me. We're going to do expository preaching here, just an expository lesson, maybe to help you with the Word of God. Maybe when you're defeated or discouraged, you'll be able to see and gain the victory through remembering what the Lord did here for His people. The Bible said here in verse number 25 of 2 Chronicles 20, "And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil." It was so much. Said they gained more than they could carry away. I want to preach a little while on this thought as we come down through this chapter of Scripture. I want to preach on more victory than you can carry. We don't have to live a defeated Christian life. Thank God. Because Jesus, of what He's done, He said we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And so we don't have to be defeated and live a defeated life. We can be victorious in life, and we can have not only enough victory for ourselves personally, but thank God we can have enough victory that we might be able to share with some folks around us some of it. Amen. And so that's what we want to do, be able to have enough to share with folk, and so you can have more victory than you can carry. And I believe we can see how they arrived at verse 25 if we'll come down through this passage of Scripture, keeping in mind that in the Old Testament, these things were not written to us, but they were written for our admonition and learning. And so as we look at this lesson in the Bible concerning King Jehoshaphat and the children of Judah, we'll find how they gained more spoils from the victory than they could carry off. We'll see how they gained so much victory, it took them 3 days to carry off the precious spoils of the battle. And wouldn't it be good if we could get so full of victory, thank God took us 3 days to handle all the victory that come in? It'd really be good, wouldn't it? So let's go down through the passage. I'll give you an outline as you go through, and if you're writing your Bible, somebody said, if you're writing your Bible will write in you. Say amen right there. Amen. Just write the truth, amen, and the truth will set you free. And so we'll look in this passage of Scripture, and what we'll try to do is this away. I'll give you some thought from the passage, and then we'll go down through the verses that carries that thought. And we'll go that way expository down through this passage of Scripture. I preach a lot of topical sermons, and I know this somewhat is a topical sermon. More victory than you can carry. That's a topic. But still, we want to do it expository and let you see it in the text, how they gain the victory, and give you some insight as how you and I can have more victory than we have right now. Amen. And so let's read some. We're going to be looking, first of all, at the devil's invasion, verses 1 and 2. The devil's invasion. "It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazor Tamar, which is in Gedi." And as we look at this, we'll see that Judah was encamped about with a great host of enemies, and we see here then the devil's invasion. In Ephesians 4:12 in the New Testament, the Bible said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against all these demonic spirits in this world, and we're fighting against them. This world is no friend to grace, and I promise you that this is a shooting war. We're engaged in warfare. We're engaged in combat. As we were standing in the aisle talking to our brother back here a while ago, he said he was in Korea. He was in the war. And so some of you, maybe besides him, have been in the battle for our country. But we know as a church, as a body of Christ, as long as we're in this world, we're always going to have to earnestly contend for the faith, and we're all earnestly going to have to fight the good fight of faith, and we're going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier, and we're going to have to know this, that we're going to be attacked by Satan. The devil is going to invade. He's going to come in. He's going to come like a flood against us. And when the devil comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And so, thank God, we don't have to be defeated. The devil can run from us. We don't have to run from the devil. We can resist him, and he'll flee from us. And we're going to learn how they gained the victory over this great host of enemies. They no doubt did not have the force. They no doubt did not have the physical power. They no doubt did not have the wisdom of warfare, the way to handle this battle. It was too big a battle for them. And I promise you, as Satan attacks you and I in our spiritual walk of life, it's too big a battle for us to handle. So we're going to have to get some help from above, and we're going to have to learn how to seek the Lord and get His strength and get Him in on the battle. For the battle is the Lord's, thank God. It's not our battle. We're engaged in a warfare, and the battle is the Lord. So we see in these first two verses of our scripture the devil's invasion. But then let's look at the definite intercession. Definite intercession. And that's what's being talked about here. I thank Brother Frank. I thank Brother James. I thank those who've spoken of prayer here in this service tonight. Introduce what I was wanting to say to you. I think the crux of the matter is, and the bulk of what I have to say to you is, that prayer won the day. Thank God prayer got the job done. Prayer showed the direction. Prayer gave the victory. And we're going to see that in this portion of Scripture. As we look down to verse number 12, we'll read along Scripture here. So stick with us as we read it and hear the things that the Lord had to say as we see a definite intercession. Thank God for a king. Thank God for a king. Jehoshaphat, as his father Asa, he followed the Lord. He lived for God. He believed the Lord could hear his cry, and he wasn't embarrassed to pray. Amen. You know one reason why folk don't come to prayer meeting? I hear some say, "Do I have to pray out loud?" Why not? Do you talk to your mother and daddy? Do you talk to your wife out loud? Supposing your wife looked at you and said, "Do I have to talk to you out loud?" Suppose the husband looked at the wife and said, "Do I have to talk out loud to you?" If you don't know sign language, you better talk out loud, praise God. I mean, and you say, "Well, God can hear if we just breathe a prayer." Well, certainly. He knows our thoughts are far off, amen. "But still yet cry unto me," he said. "Call upon me," praise God. "Morning, noon, and at night will I cry." Thank God. Don't be embarrassed to pray. You can't go wrong, praise God, because the Holy Ghost, He'll pray with you with groanings that cannot be uttered if you don't know how to pray. He'll just groan to you. Just get in the altar and groan a good while in the Holy Ghost and go to the house, amen. But I'm just telling you, yes, pray out loud. Don't be embarrassed to pray. God. If you go to Brooklyn Tabernacle with 4,500 people in the Tuesday night prayer meeting, they'll praise God with their mouth open. Hey, they won't be just praising God down in here. They'll open their mouth. They'll open their mouth and praise God 30 minutes before they make any intercession. And you'll feel just like you fell into an ocean of prayer. And I'm not talking about somebody crying in the flesh and somebody trying to outdo somebody and somebody trying to show how good a prayer I am and all. I'm not talking about the boasting of the flesh or the glorification of the flesh. I'm talking about a burdened heart crying to God and asking God to have mercy and to do some wonderful things. And thank God we do need to pray. And so we'll get into this right here. A definite intercession. Oh, Jehoshaphat, he was Daddy Rabbit. He was a king. And he wasn't embarrassed to get up in front of his whole subjects, all of his subjects, and say, look, we've got to have some help that I can't handle. We've got to have some help that I can't do. I'm going to get to a higher king in me, and you come with me. And we'll see what happened right here as we read. It said, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. How about that? Seek the Lord. And proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Hey, James, they all came. Oh, Jehoshaphat, when he said, we're going to pray, and he declared a fast. Now, if you really want to get the prayer meeting slim, say we're going to fast and pray. Huh? God help outfit like us. Amen. But he said, we're going to fast and pray. And look, let's see what they did. And Judah gave themselves to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said out loud, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came up out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Look at there. There is a definite intercession from the king himself publicly standing out before the house of the Lord and reminding God of what he's done in the past and asking God for help in this particular battle that they cannot handle. We see here he proclaimed a fast. We see here he prayed publicly. We see here that he relied on God's power in verse 6. We see here he remembered God's promises in verse 7 through 9. And we see here he rested in God's providence, verses 12 through 13. Jehoshaphat, he knew that God could and would help them. And so publicly he humbled himself before all the people of Judah and cried to the Lord, cried to the Lord. We need to cry to the Lord. We talk about what's going to happen in the election. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Somebody's going to get elected. But whoever gets elected is not going to be able to even come close to fixing the problems in this country, whether they want to or don't want to, whether they are a Muslim or whether they are a Christian, whether they are a Mormon or whether they are a Christian, no matter who they are, unless God intervenes, we're in trouble, okay? So we need to cry to the Lord about our nation, because it may not be long until, if you come in here, then you'll have to come through Chinese guards. They're already teaching Mandarin Chinese to the little children, and the Chinese are paying them in grade school to teach it to the little children in this country here. And so we're just about going to have a takeover, maybe without them firing a shot. If we don't pray, if we don't seek God, we're in bigger trouble than we can possibly imagine. I don't mean to throw a gloom of doubt on this, but I'm telling you, we have a devil's invasion nationally. have the devil's invasion statewide, countywide, citywide, area-wide. We're having a devil's invasion. And so does the devil ever attack you? Does he ever tempt you? Or have you got above temptation? Well, to tell you the truth about it, he's going to tempt everybody because he knows that if he can just get them at a weak point, maybe he can get them to yield to sin and they can lose the victory. And so he's going to attack. That's his business. So we find here the definite intercession of the king after the devil's invasion. Let's look and see that they desired instruction. This is verses 13 through 17. They desired instruction. And I like this. Notice how we closed out verse number 12. Look at it again with me. He said here, our eyes are upon thee. He's ready to listen and ready to hear from God. Okay? It said, and all Judah stood before the Lord, verse 13, with their little ones, their wives, and their children. There's the kind of prayer meeting they had, James. Every one of them's there because they know that it's important. It said, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. Watch this. Came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Did you get that? What just happened in this service? What just happened? Do you have any thinking or any idea that James, just on a whim, just because he's James, and just because he took a notion he wanted to say something, or do you have any idea that the Holy Ghost been talking to him about something that would really help Harmony Baptist Church and help you have more victory than you've already got? Amen. Don't you allow that the Holy Ghost come upon a member in the congregation. Brother Frank didn't say that. Brother James stood up in the congregation here, and that's the same thing happened here. This wasn't coming from the king. The king didn't give these instructions. The king didn't get this prophecy and this vision. The king wasn't the one that the Holy Ghost dealt with. The Holy Ghost come on a member of the congregation. Amen. And thank God some preachers won't accept nothing out of the congregation, but then some preachers have got enough wisdom to know that God can speak from the pew as well as from the pulpit. Amen. And so that's the way good old King Jehoshaphat was. Thank God he was glad to hear from God. He was seeking God, and he didn't care who brought the message from God. And whenever the man stood up with the Holy Ghost on him, he was all ears and he was all in, and he was ready to get some instruction from God how they might proceed to win this battle. Amen. I like a man like that. Some preachers, bless God, you can't tell them nothing because they know everything. I used to be like that when I started out. Amen. Yeah. Let's get a little water on that right there. I found out the farther I went, Joanne, the less I know. And the more I know that I got to wait on God and find out. Boy, if God don't help us, we're in a mess. Amen. So they desired instruction. And here it's coming. It's coming in. Who's it bringing it in? Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, he's bringing it in. And listen to what he said. And he said, hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. I like him. When the Holy Ghost comes on you, you talk bold to the king. Amen. He said, all Judah, and you, sir, you, sovereign, you, King Jehoshaphat, listen to what the big king got to say. I got a word from him, and old Jehaziel, full of the Holy Ghost, thank God. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost was upon him. And when he opened his mouth, come a rolling out a prophecy from God above, saying, this is how it's going to happen. You listen to what I got to say about this battle. And the Lord started talking through Jehaziel, amen. Well, here's what happened. He said, the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. Isn't that good? He said, be not afraid. How many times did Jesus say to his church when he was here, fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. Fear not, be not afraid. He said it time and time again. because fear will defeat you quicker than anything else. And by the way, can I throw this in? God has not given one of his children the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Don't you never get afraid, praise God, unless you look into the Lord. And what time I'm afraid, David said, I'll trust in God. Amen. And so if fear comes in, don't let it stay, and don't let it defeat you, because debilitating fear has destroyed more Christians in the battle than anything else. And we need to fear God and Him only. Thank God, and He'll give us a victory. And so we find here, then he said, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but whose, church? But whose? The battle is not yours, Harmony Church, but the battle is God's. Amen. The battle is God's. And look what it said here in verse number 16. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand ye still. And see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. That's a winner every time. Every time you're going to win when the Lord's with you. We find here the desired instruction. And the Spirit of the Lord come upon Jahaziel, and he said, be not afraid. The battle is the Lord's. Be still and see the salvation of the Lord. And they bowed to worship. Look in verse number 18. They believed what Jahaziel said from the congregation, and they knew that victory was on the way, enough so that they praised God before the battle was ever fought. Look. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. They had a spiritual meeting, didn't they? Jehoshaphat believed the words from Jahaziel and believed it was from the Lord. And before they ever went out to battle, before they ever drew the sword, before they ever rode the horse into the battle, they honestly believed that God Almighty had prophesied through Jahaziel that victory was coming, that they had to just wait on God and let the Lord do it. And they could remember back and see how he destroyed Pharaoh's army there in the sea. They could remember back and see what God's mighty works had been in the past. They had something to go back and refer to see how God had done it. And they believed that God not only had done it, but they believed that God was going to do it. And so they fell and worshiped God with the victory already in their hearts, because they believed what God had to say about it. That's the kind of faith we need to have. Not wait and see how it comes out, but bless God, get a word from the Lord, get assurance in our heart, and then stand up and praise God and thank Him before it ever happens, because we can see it in our mind's eye and know that God has spoken and it's surely going to come to pass. Amen. Amen. And so that's what happened right here. And they believed God for the victory, verse 19. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. They said, we've won. We're winners. Because God spoke to them and said, this is how it's going to go down. And said, the battle's mine. And he's never lost one. Amen. Amen. I like it, don't you? And the Lord's never lost a battle, and he's not about to start here in this one. And so they knew that they were winners before they ever rode out. Amen. So we see the devil's invasion, a definite intercession. We see their desired instruction. But now we're going to look at a divine intervention, verses 20 through 25. Let's look at it here in the text. And it says, and they rose up early in the morning. Amen. They had so much victory that they didn't sleep in. They got up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Hear the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets. So shall ye prosper. How are you going to prosper here? How are you going to prosper here at Harmony Baptist Church? You're going to prosper by believing His prophets. As God's man from the pulpit or the pew stands up and prophesies, thus saith the Lord, from the Word of God, and you believe that, you're going to win the battle, I guarantee it. It's impossible to lose trusting in the Lord. And so He said, you believe God. Believe God. Amen. And so shall you prosper. And when He had consulted with the people, He appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. And when they begin to sing and to praise the Lord, or when they begin to sing and to praise the Lord, set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Amen. You know, worship God. We need to worship the Lord. One way that we worship the Lord is with singing. Be not drunken with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Sometimes when you get together in the house of the Lord, instead of having a sermon of instruction like you're having right now, sometimes you need to gather together with songs of thanksgiving and praise and adoration and just worship God in the Holy Ghost and sing songs in the Spirit of God. And everybody, whether you can carry a tune in a peck bucket with a lid on it, you can sing in the congregation, have good old time congregational singing, have good old time special singing, and people sing to the glory of God to magnify the Lord for what He's already done and for who He is. Amen. Amen. And so sometimes, you know, He inhabit the praises of Israel. And when Israel began to praise God, and when they did what God said here in obedience to the word from the Lord, and they did not fight, but He put the singers out in front of the soldiers. You get that? And we are to enter into His courts with thanksgiving and into His house with praise. We're to come before His presence with singing. One thing that'll keep a prayer meeting going, it can be interspersed with a good spiritual song from time to time. Sometimes when you're praying and you don't know what to say, you might say, I need Thee, oh, I need Thee, every hour I need Thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee, I need Thee every hour. Stay Thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when Thou art nigh. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. You won't sing that long on your knees until the glory will come on your heart. He'll bless you. You won't sing very long, Thou art the potter and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will while I'm waiting, yielded and still. You'll never get on your knees and say, oh Lord my God, when I an awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made. I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. You won't sing very long to Jesus until Jesus will come. Bless your heart. Amen. He'll help you. He'll help you to sing. He'll help you to pray. He'll help you to seek Him. He'll help you to worship Him. And you're not going to do much intercession. You're not going to do much petition until you've done a whole lot of communion and a whole lot of worship with the Lord. Hallowed be His name. Why don't you just say hallelujah from the heart about 10 times? It won't be long before the hot tears are going to run down your face as Jesus shows up and face to face with Christ the Savior. You can pray, amen. Thank God they want it. They want it out there shouting and singing, rejoicing in the Lord. And the Lord set ambushments against the enemy. Amen. I tell you, I've seen it. Many a time I've seen it in my Christian life. The Spirit of God is grieved and quenched a lot in our day. But back when I got saved in 67, I'd slip off Joanne, go over there sometime from my church. My church, to be honest with you, the prayer meeting was sort of dry. Now, I'm not saying you slip off if your prayer meeting's a little dry here at Harmony. I'm confessing my sin. I slipped off from mine because one at our church a little bit on the dry side. I'd slip over at Pleasant Grove where that youth choir would get up and sing the Holy Ghost. It wasn't long to folks on their feet to testify. Folks was running up and down the aisle, and the old saints of God is shouting and praising God in the Holy Ghost, not in the flesh. I'm talking about it got on, praise God. And I tell you right now, that's what needs to happen now. Once in a while, we need to just rejoice in the Lord, and everybody needs to get shouting happy in the house of God, amen. That's the way it needs to get. And so that's what happened here. I'm talking about the power came. The glory of God came. And it wasn't long before that bunch was so confused. All of their enemies were so confused that there's a fighting one another and beating one another down and cutting one another down. They didn't have to draw the sword. They just drew the songbook, praise God, and shouted and sung, praise God, for the glory of God. And while they worshiped God, God won the war for them, amen. And I tell you right now, that's what people's looking for. Ain't nobody wants to come and sit down on a pew, and bless God, when you sit down, dust fog up around you, and whenever the preacher preaches, and every time his foot hits the floor, dust fly out of the carpet, and it be drying last year's bird's nest. They want some power in the house of God, and they want some joy and victory in the saints of God. And I tell you right now, if we ain't got it, let's confess it and come get it, amen. Thank God the joy of the Lord's our strength, and God will win the battle for it, and He'll fight the battle for it. I've seen them many a time when the preacher didn't preach, Joanne, you've seen it. You've seen them many a time when the choir was singing and the glory hit the house of God like a spark hit a powder keg, amen. And I'm telling you, the power went off, and it wasn't long before sinners was weeping down the aisle when nobody giving an invitation, but God drawing them by the power, the worship of the saints of God, and the Holy Ghost in the house of God. And we need that kind of old time power in the house of God. And they had it right here because they got to praying right. They got to praying right, and when they got to praying right, their singing got right, amen. And somebody got free, amen. Somebody got to victory, amen. And that's the way it'll still work. It worked in Paul and Silas' day, didn't it? They was up against the enemy, and the host of the enemy had them bound and in the stocks. It looked like the devil had them completely defeated. And they had an old-time prayer meeting out loud because the prisoners heard them, thank God. And they prayed, God Almighty, have mercy. We're in here. Have mercy. I don't know what all they said. I'll ask them when I see them. I know one thing. They prayed out loud. They prayed till the prisoners heard them, and the prisoners, bless God, got under Holy Ghost arrest, and the prison keeper, the guard, heard them, thank God. And before they prayed very long, it wasn't long till cut loose singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound saved a wretch like me. And when you pray a while, it won't be long before you're singing. If any among you is afflicted, let him pray. If any is merry, let him sing. If you're afflicted, you pray long enough, it won't be long until the affliction will run out the door, and praise God, the joy will come in, and you'll be able to sing for the Lord, amen. Amen. And sing in the Spirit. Amen. And that's what Paul and Silas did, and they won the victory in the New Testament. You can do the same thing, amen. You can do the same thing. And so they had a divine intervention. They sing and praise God, verses 21, 22, and they saw the slaughter of the enemy, verses 23, 24, and they didn't do it. Who did it? Who did it, church? Who did it? God did it. Hey, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus building a church. He's using me, you and me, but it's his church. It's his work, and he's the one that's going to get it done, amen, through you and I, amen. I'll be through right here. I'm going to shut her down. I'm going to give you, I gave you devil's invasion and a divine intervention or intercession, desired instruction, divine intervention. And then I'm going to show you a delightful inheritance. Delightful inheritance. and we come down to our text. What did I say the topic was? Will somebody tell me? More victory than you can carry. More victory than they could carry off. Took them 3 days to gather it. They couldn't haul it all in one load. How'd you like to come to the house of God and the glory of God so fill this place, and the power of God come and the glory of God come, and you get so much victory that you couldn't haul it all the house? Amen. Wouldn't that be good? Amen. You say, preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. God have mercy on you. Amen. Have you ever been in an old time Holy Ghost meeting where the raw power of God was surreal and the glory of God, you felt like you could reach out and get a hold of God? You felt like you needed to see an eye dog get around in there. The house is full of smoke spiritually. You felt like that God was so real, bless God, that you just could seem like hug him and kiss him. Amen. You ever been to service like that and go home and try to sleep? You can forget about sleeping when the glory comes on you, because you'll be so full of God you won't be able to sleep a wink, praise God, until that leaves. Amen. And so these folk got in so much victory that day that they couldn't carry the victory off in one day. They couldn't carry it off in 2 days. It took them 3 days to haul off the victory. Amen. They got so much victory. There's more victory than you and I can carry, and that's in the Word of God. It's in my text. It's in this chapter here, that what God did for Judah, and he is no respecter of persons. What God done for one, he'll do for another if we just meet the conditions that they met. And that's exactly what happened right here. And let's read and see what happened. Verse 25, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. Can you imagine that? I mean, just let your mind focus a little bit on how much victory they actually got and how much treasures they actually received as God won the battle for them. How many thousands were slaughtered? We don't know, do we? But we know this, that bunch that was out there fighting against them had on them enough gold, had on them enough rubies, had on them enough diamonds, had on them enough diadems, until the army of Judah could not carry it in sacks. Amen. I can't imagine that, but I believe the Word of God. Yeah. I'm going to see when I get to heaven, I'm going to talk to the Lord a little bit and say, tell me all about that. Tell me what kind of jewels it was. But I'm telling you this, it shows us the great riches and treasures of the victory that the Lord wants to give you and I spiritually. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I mean, we're just a bunch going to a city where the street is solid 24 karat gold without any alloy. We're just going to a city where the walls are made of jasper, garnished with precious stones, and every several gate is one pearl. We're just going to a big jewel box that's 1,500 mile long, 1,500 mile wide, and 1,500 mile high. You say, it's no wonder the Bible said, it's neither in the heart of man what God's got prepared for them to love him. There's victory in Jesus. Don't you believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe that there's treasures untold in him? I do. And we see it right here. And do we believe the Bible, literally true in this case? Do we believe that it took one day and the Bible just exaggerated? Do we believe the Holy Ghost embellished on the man of God as he wrote, inspired by the Holy Ghost, and this is breathed of God? Do we believe this is the Word of God?
Amen.
I do. I confess I believe it. And so, listen, they got a delightful inheritance. They got the victory spoils, and that valley that they was in, that they thought was going to be the valley of defeat, it turned into the valley of blessing. Look in verse number 26. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah. For there they blessed the Lord. There the name of the same place was called. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Berakah unto this day. And that Valley of Berakah means the Valley of Blessing. If you'll pray right, your valleys won't be valleys of defeat. For God is the God of the valley as well as the God of the mountain. Your valleys will be valleys of blessing. And there you'll get treasures untold if you'll pray right, if you'll pray right, if you'll seek God with your whole heart like they did. God gave them all these blessings of riches and change the name of a valley because of God's victory that was wrought in that valley. It wasn't a valley of defeat. It was a valley of blessing to the children of God. And so let's hear the victory shout. Verses 27 through 28, then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. Now who's in front? Who's in front? King Jehoshaphat. David, he came home shouting one time, didn't he? Leaping. I mean, he humbled himself. And you know, we offer the sacrifice of praise. Are you listening? I guess I better camp right there just a minute. You know why some people don't praise God outwardly? Can I tell you why? It's because they're too full of pride. It's because they don't want to embarrass themselves. But you know what? It's a sacrifice of the flesh. Are you listening? Are you listening? The flesh has to sacrifice before the spiritual man can get free to praise God out loud, publicly. You say, preacher, now I'm quiet. I'm reserved. I don't do that. You never catch me doing that. I've lived all these years and I've never done it. Well, I guarantee you one thing. Can I prophesy? Let me prophesy. If you're saved and going to heaven, just as soon as your feet strike Zion, you'll shout. Just as soon as you see Him, I've seen some of you sticking your hand and waving the glory. And that's biblical. Lift your hands, ye saints of the Lord, that stand by night in the house of the Lord and bless His name. The Lord bless thee out of Zion. Yeah. There needs to be an outward expression of inward possession. There needs to be praise from the abundance of heart the lips speaketh. Jehoshaphat, he humbled himself and he offered a sacrifice. He offered the calves of his lips. He didn't cut the throats of the animals on the altar at that time. He offered sacrifice of praise to God by opening his mouth and humbling himself and crucifying the flesh and letting the spiritual man exalt and magnify the Lord. Amen. And that's exactly what you'll have to do if you ever praise Him like you ought to in the Spirit. Amen. You need to praise Him. And so Jehoshaphat did. We saw that. It said they returned to Jerusalem with joy, last part of 27, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. They brought that victory right in the house of the Lord. Amen. So as a result of what took place here, then they had quietness and rest from the enemy. Verse 29 through 30. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. They went from trouble to triumph. They went from peril to peace. They went from penury to plenty. And they went from distress to deliverance. And they got more victory than they could carry. I preached a message God gave me to preach. Again, the Holy Ghost don't lie. Some of you don't have the victory that you need. Some of you, the old-time terminology, it's done faded almost away out of our churches. And our modern preachers, the modernist, the teacher, the quiet man who will never lift his voice like a trumpet, never preach and proclaim the Word of God like the old-time preacher used to, and the praying in the altar used to go something like this. I prayed through. They prayed, bless God, till they got the victory. They went down, bless God, knowing they needed help, and come up with help. Amen. Amen. It's still available today, Joanne. We've seen it, haven't we? We've seen the old time power when the saints of God come down out of the pew with tears running down their face, wanting more victory, wanting to be holy, wanting to be righteous, wanting to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Come down, fill an altar, and begin to pray and call on God. Don't care who's around. Not embarrassed, not ashamed. Calling on the God who sent His Son to die for them and crying to God, have mercy, help me. and come up with help and victory. I've seen it many a time. I've done it many a time. And I guess before I get out of this walk of life, I'll have to do it a few more times. But we need to listen to God. We need to believe God. We need to understand by faith that we can have more victory than just for ourselves. We'll have enough to share with other people. I want more victory than I can carry. I want to be able to carry it to others, don't you? And see them get the victory. I want Ron and I to be able to see souls saved when we minister this book. I want to be able to see God work and win the battle over Satan and loosen free souls that's been bound in the bondage of sin and it's going to die and go to hell if they don't get saved. I want to see it, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. Frank, I want you to come. I want you to just, whatever the Lord tells you to do, mind the Lord. Let's have an invitation, though. Somebody maybe need to get around this altar and pray and seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. You've had the instruction. It seemed like the Holy Ghost through James and through what's said by Brother Frank and the prayer meeting and stuff has helped us to illustrate what happened in the lives of Judah and Jehoshaphat as they gained that day more victory than they could carry. It's available for Harmony Baptist Church. I'm not a prophet nor a prophet's son, but I know this. I know the Holy Ghost spoke through me, and I know the Holy Ghost wants to do a work tonight. He don't want to do it next week. He don't want to do it Wednesday. He don't want to do it Thursday. He don't want to wait on next Sunday. He wants to do it tonight, somebody. If you'll just come down here and get serious with God and seek the Lord while he may be found.